Okay, so you should have two handouts. One of them is a resource, and that is a take it home, all the verses on thought life. So lots to think about and consider as we work through this topic, okay? The other one is discussion questions, and we are going to go into discussion questions after this, but you can use the other side of that for notes, okay? So what I want to think about today is I want to think about thought life. I want to start with this verse. Jesus talks about the inside of the cup in Matthew 23, 25 through 26. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." And the truth is that we take inventory of our lives and we decide what we want to change, just like even our goals. I mean, if I went around and I said, okay, let's put a spiritual goal, then we could all go around and think about a spiritual goal or whatever. But we all make an inventory of what we decide to focus on, and we go around the room and we hear these results, but a lot of them we focus on kind of the outside, which is easy to do, even physically, you know, wanting to feel strong or healthy. There's kind of an easy way to go on that. We can focus on all kinds of things, reading our Bible, being more faithful in kind of coming to church events, watching less TV or less Netflix or YouTube. And we can often miss this one area that God does talk about, which is our thought life. And that doesn't come to mind just as easily as some of the other things. And that's what I want to talk about. I'm just going to pray real quick and then just kind of share some thoughts here. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you give us instruction on this, God. I thank you, God, that this is important to you, Lord. Help us to be women that we don't miss what you're saying here to us, God. Even the verse that we already read, God, I pray you would help us to be reverent before you in your word. Help us to be careful listeners, God. It says in the scriptures that whoever listens carefully, more will be added. But whoever doesn't listen, even what they have will be taken, God. I pray that we would be women that would be before you tonight, God, that our hearts would be open to receive from you, Lord. Pray that your spirit would just do your work here, God. I thank you, God, that you're invested, God, that it's pleasing when your saints come together, God, that that pleases you. And that's a sweet aroma to you, God. I pray that as we listen tonight, our hearts would be a sweet aroma to you, that you would be pleased in what you see as we process this. I pray that you would give me grace, God. Help me to bring honor to you through my words and through our processing. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Okay, about mid-morning this morning, I suddenly got very insecure and I thought, oh no, when have I talked about this recently? I bet I talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. So I went back and looked because I kind of have this sheet that I keep track of what I talked about. The last time I talked about thought life was 10 years ago. Wow. Is that crazy? I feel like I talk about it all the time. You know how they say that every pastor has one sermon, he just repeats it and does three, you know, has three different titles. This would be my area. This is what I think about all the time. This is the thing that I process all the time. So I could not believe it that I talked about it 10 years ago, but it has been 10 years. So I feel like I could talk about it. Steve's like, 10 years ago was a long time. We still had 8 kids in the house 10 years ago, I think. So when I bring up the thought of thought life, your initial thought might be, I have some really bad thoughts sometimes, okay? But those aren't even necessarily the ones I really want to talk about tonight. Sure, we can have thoughts of lust or coveting or jealousy, and those are pretty obvious, and we know those are wrong, and we know those bear bad fruit. But there's those other thoughts that we have that are wrong that we can kind of let run rampant because we don't really see them as sin. And they aren't that important as possibly being things that are even beyond our control. For instance, you know, you might think about anger. And we can all say we struggle with anger at times, right? Or unforgiveness. Or resentment. Or this one's a biggie for women, self-pity. We all can relate to that, right? Self-pity. I can get there easily. This one's another big one for women, discontentment. We can struggle with being discontent, a grumbling spirit. And it's just interesting how those things, it's really hard because we experience them so often that it's hard to identify them as, wait, I need to bring these under control of the Lord and not allow space for them. So the problem is that we think that these things can just be kind of consequences or results of things that happen to us. So I get angry, but I got angry because Stephen did this, and so it was kind of Stephen's fault. And so I started the totally wrong spot, because I started the spot of my anger is coming from what happened, not coming from what is inside of me and what's going on inside of me. Someone hurts our feelings, so we get upset. We don't get recognition for something we worked hard on, so we feel undervalued. Other people don't seem to like us or to choose us, so we struggle because we feel insecure and unloved. These parts of our life are very real, and we feel it. Okay. In February, at our WOW discipleship, Dina talked about emotions. And she reminded us that our emotions is part of what God designed when he made us in his image. So we're made in his image, and part of being made in his image is that God gave us emotions, and they're a gift. Even though a lot of times it doesn't feel like they're a gift, if they're under the Spirit, they're a gift. In the same way, God made us in his image, and he gave us the ability to think. And that's a gift. And I even read this commentary. I don't know if it's Oswald or whatever, but he talked about even this idea of being able to have a clear thought, being able to have even one clear thought is from the Lord. Without the Lord, we can't even have one clear thought. And I just thought that's amazing, because we give ourselves so much credit for our ideas or our ingenuity or whatever. You know, we give ourselves credit for these things, and even those are from the Lord. I'll try to remember to post that tomorrow on the Discord, that article. I thought was really good. But we're made in our image, in God's image, and the ability to think is a gift of God. And our emotions affect our thought life, and our thought life affect our emotions, and they affect our heart. And somehow these are all very intertwined, and I have no idea how to unravel what affects what. But we would all agree that they're deeply intertwined, and that God has something to say about all of them. He has something to say about our emotions. We talked about that in February. He has something to say about our thought life. We're going to look at that. He has something to say about our heart. And all those things, God knows what's right and good in all those things. So I want to start with the familiar story. In Mark 12, one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And you guys all know this verse. Jesus answers, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your
soul
and with all your
mind
and with all your
strength
and with all your mind,
uh-huh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. That's a challenge. It's very interesting. When I think about that list, heart, and all you guys could do it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Which one seems easiest to you guys? If you had to pick of the four, which one would you say this one's easiest? You have to pick one, Lav.
Yeah,
none.
Probably strength, because you can just will it to happen.
Okay, you would say loving the Lord your God with all your strength.
Yeah,
you okay, anybody else?
I mean, maybe soul, but I feel like I kind of don't like, oh, my soul is like, I don't know, like I feel like my soul is mostly like created for God, and so it's easier to, I don't know. But like the heart is like flesh and like the mind is, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, it's complicated. I'm not even sure I really understand some of the differences in some of those words. It's like, Kath, explain to me the difference between heart and soul. Please don't make me. You know, I'm not sure I could totally sort that out exactly. I could get a stab at it, but I'm not even sure I'd be right. Let me ask you this question. My last question, which one's the easiest? Which one is the most tangible? Which one do you feel like is tangible?
Mine.
That's me too. I kind of feel like, I think tangible, the most tangible one is mind. You guys don't think so? Which one would you say? Lav and I are on the same page. Mind. I totally think mind.
I would say strength.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say, I love you, Lord. You can express it physically.
Acts.
There it is. I said
okay,
it.
You would say that was easiest and most tangible.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe those are the same thing. Okay.
I was always confused if it was emotional strength,
sure,
strength,
sure,
or mental strength.
Yeah,
or all of that actually confused me. I was like, yeah, how do I do that?
Yeah, so I think it's a high calling, right? That verse is a high calling. Does God want to be the authority of my mind? Is that what that verse is saying? Is my mind my own, or is it the Lord's? Where Satan has the easiest access to me is I believe it's in my mind. I think that's where I'm most vulnerable and where I feel like Satan can most easily get me. Okay? I sin the most in my thought life. I sin more in my thought life than I do my actions, than I do my words. I don't punch anybody anymore. You know, I kind of have a relatively clean mouth most days. So that leaves my mind. That's where I sin the most, too. So it's interesting to think about that. That's the area that we're most vulnerable. That's the area that Satan can attack us the most. And that's the area that we sin the most, I think. I guess at least I would say for myself, okay? And we women are very prone to have patterns of our thinking. And if you sat down and I gave you an hour and set a piece of paper and said, what is the pattern of your thinking? How do you tend to think? Which might be a really good exercise to think about this. You might find some patterns. I tend to blank. I tend to be fearful. Okay? I tend to want to take control. I tend to be overwhelmed with feelings of insecurity. And so we all have these patterns, and they're affected by all kinds of things. And I just want to make some generalities here, speak some generalities. The first statement that I'm going to say, I believe, is not a generality, but a God-given design on women. And I would say that we are designed to bring good. I think in our very design, God designed us in Genesis to bring good. But how that looks is where we can get kind of away from generalities. What good you bring and what good I bring becomes more of our design. But I would say this, okay? Most women are good at multitasking, okay? Most women are good at figuring things out, okay? But this can greatly impact the patterns of the attitudes of our heart. You know, we talk about in Hebrews 4, it talks about the attitudes of your heart, and the scripture exposes the attitudes of our heart. The very things that we're good at, which is multitasking, which is figuring things out, can really impact how we think about things. And those are easy things to take out of the control of the Lord or out from underneath and yielded to the Lord because we're good at it. We can do it. We know how to do this. This is a pattern that we're used to. So I think it's just interesting just to think about the design of a woman as being, you know, we're designed to bring good, but then on top of that, some of our strengths make it easy for us to pull out and not be yielded to the Lord because it's just natural. It's easier for us. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think just thinking about our design is good too, because it's not wrong that we can multitask. It's not wrong that we can figure things out. Those things aren't wrong, but God, again, wants that yielded to him. And we see our thought life all around us. We see women that, and even men, that struggle with anxiety, worries, passion, all kinds of thoughts that can really get out of control. We exhaust ourselves with our own thinking. Either we're obsessed about something, or we're committed to think about nothing. We're extreme. We can just exhaust ourselves. Have you ever done that where you're just, I've exhausted myself just by my own thought life. Nobody else has done this to me. I've done it to myself. I'm my own worst enemy, right? We all agree with that, right? And so I think just even understanding that, wow, my thought life has a huge impact on me. If I can exhaust myself single-handedly without anybody else's input, I really need to pay attention to this area of my life. This is a big area that influences my faith, okay? And I can be guilty of this too. I can struggle with this in my own life. One thing I have learned is that my responses to things that roll into my life often expose wrong thinking, even idols in my heart. Okay, my responses to things that roll into my life, they expose wrong thinking or even idols. Okay, and I have a story. As many of you guys know, I'm involved in doing a podcast every month. And this podcast, we take a different topic every month, okay? And so once every fourth month, I host. And so when I host, I pick the topic and I write the questions and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I find hosting a lot harder because there is this element of, it might be easier for some people, but for me it's a lot harder because I'm kind of making these decisions about how this is going to go. Whereas if I'm just sitting there talking, someone else has to carry the weight of the conversation and where it's going to go. So I've hosted 4 or 5 times now, and it's gone miserable. So I came up to host, okay? I'm like, you know what? I'm hosting. I am going to do this differently. I am going to think about this. I am going to pray about this. Dina, no, Misty is going to pray for me, right? Misty was going to, I think you even prayed for me. I think Jenna was praying for me. I had sisters that were praying for me. I was going to pray for this. I wasn't going to take this on my own head. I was going to have Stephen involved from the get-go. So I was talking to Stephen, and it went miserable. It was miserable. So I got this topic, and the topic was pleasing others, and I got these 7 questions, and I felt like, these questions are good questions. Stephen, do you think these questions are good questions? Steve's like, I think those are good questions. I'm like, oh. And I prayed about it. I'm like, this is good. And I gave it out to the other sisters, and they're like, I don't think those are really that good questions. I'm like, how could this go so wrong? But what happened was it exposed my heart that my thinking was, if I do all my, check all my boxes, if I get my girlfriends to pray for me, and if I get Stephen as a part of it, and if I blank and blank, this will surely go well. And I thought in my own thinking, I was going to control this. I was going to make this go well. And so, like, literally the day before, the gals are like, no, let's rewrite some of the questions. And I'm like, so, like, this is unbelievable. And I just take this walk around the circle. And I was just with the Lord, like, and the Lord was just, well, I had had a verse on my counter that talks about, I think it's in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, where he says, I'm not willing to bring an offering that doesn't cost me something. Mm-hmm. You guys know that story, right? I'm like, well, God, it did cost me. It cost me a lot of work. I've been thinking about this and prayed about this and asking Steve. And the Lord was just very gently, this is a sacrifice that's costing you, and it's still costing you to the very end. And it was almost like the Lord was just like, are you willing for this to be messy, for me to get glory to the very end? And I just realized I had just totally created this world in my thought life that this would no longer be hard, and this would no longer be messy. I would do it in such a way that it would go smooth. So anyway, so that's my story of just my own thought life. Here I am doing something that's, quote, good. I'm doing something that is supposed to bring good. I'm doing something for the Lord, and I'm just all amuck in my heart. My heart's just messy and ugly, and I want things to go a certain way, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so that's just, I just shudder at the thought of that, but just the kindness of the Lord, that the Lord just kind of helped me and stopped me and walked through that with me. And so there was just bad fruit there. There was bad fruit that God wanted to expose. And it took time, it took prayer and consideration to even just expose my heart, and that why I did what I did. But I want to tell you the rest of the story now. The rest of the story was, we did the podcast, fine, great. Life goes on, right? The next week I'm walking and praying. And the Lord impresses on me. And also, Cal, what was going on was that you, and that, mind you, the topic was about pleasing others. And also, Kath, what was going on was that you wanted to look good for the other sisters. You wanted to be organized and planned so that they would think well of you. And so not only was it messy, but even about the very topic that I spoke about and worked through, the Lord was still afterwards showing me, also, there's this issue. He wanted it to look a certain way for you, that they would say, good job, Kathy. You've thought about this topic, and it's good, and you're good conversation. And so it was just, yeah, there you go. So there I am. So anyway, so just that whole idea of just how we can even be doing good spiritual work. We can be loving our children, we can be loving our husband, but we can have these thoughts that are going on that are messy that need, that the Lord wants to deal with. So we talked about just kind of understanding our own hearts in this, and I want to shift a little bit to just thinking about, what do I believe? Because what you believe about this area greatly impacts what you can do with this area. We think about all kinds of things that affect our thought life. What kind of things affect your thought life? Just throw out some answers. Like, what affects the way you think?
The people I'm around.
Okay. The people you're around, what they're talking about. What else?
Media I consume.
Media affects our thought life. What else?
Which makes me feel weird, but sleep is definitely affects my mental strength.
Totally. Totally. What else?
No, I just keep thinking God affects my thought life, and is the one that's constantly, that red light that helps me to put the brake, right? To say, wait, no, that's not where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. So I would say God is okay. Really enjoyment.
Yeah, I think we're very effective. We're receiving information all the time, all of our senses. You know, you think about something, you smell something and it reminds you of something, or you see something and it reminds you of something, or you hear a song and you have a thought from that song, or, you know, there's all kinds of things that affect our thought life. And I think it's good to understand that. Another thing that really affects our thought life is our worldview. How biblical it is, how we see God in our personal lives and how we see God in our world. So if we go back to that verse that we talked about in Mark 12, about the most important one is this, love the Lord your God. I would ask you the question, do you believe that it is possible to do what God's asking you here? What do you believe about this? Do you believe that it is possible to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength?
I think you don't know the answer until you're put in the press. I think that's when you get to that point, because although we say the words, but it isn't until you're put in the press or you're in that confrontation or that thought or someone insulted you or whatever it is, right, that your mind wants to go, then God himself comes in and he puts those brakes on and reminds you that he's in control and that, you know, nothing happens without a reason. All things work for good. And somehow in this place that's not a very nice place for me, or I don't feel like it's a very good place for me, some things good's got to come out of that. But I don't think all of us can, well, at least not for me. I don't think I can say right now, Lord, I can say the words, but can I walk the talk?
Sure.
And it isn't until I'm in that press. So, yeah. So like earlier today, I said, right, to walk in that unconditional love with my husband. And unconditional love is, it is unconditional love.
Right.
And you're put in the press because the attack always comes.
And I think that's a good answer. I think, you know, love the Lord your God. Is it possible? Well, it is, or the Lord wouldn't put it in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It has to be. You know, I think about another verse in 2 Peter 3. It says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Does God want us to have wholesome thinking?
Absolutely.
Is it possible? He wouldn't call it to us if it wasn't there. So I think that's one of the things. One of the biggest problems in this area is that it's so private that nobody knows what I'm thinking. That's the deal. It's very hard to have accountability in this area, because unless I share with you guys what I'm thinking, nobody knows. And so it's a hard area. We can have all sorts of thoughts, and we can just think they're thoughts, but we cannot think much about them. They're not either right or wrong. They're just thoughts I've had. But we got to see that our thoughts are a huge influence on our own personal faith and encouragement. Our thoughts are a huge influence. Subtle, unchecked thoughts lead me to walking through my days with lies. So anything that's unchecked in my thought life can really derail me. And I think I wish I would have known this as a young gal. Even knowing it at 58 is plenty challenging. But just to think about that, there are unchecked thoughts. And those unchecked thoughts can just hammer your heart and hammer your encouragement and hammer your soul. And so you have to think, well, we're going to talk a little bit about what to do with that. In the same way, we just have to battle what this area of our lives. Am I allowing unchecked thoughts? Is it okay for my life to be unchecked in this area? And I think in America, we're just very much independent, right? We have our garages. We shut our garage door down. We go to church. We say what we want. We have the relationship level that we want. We can go deeper with some people and less deeper with others. So some people know our hearts. Some people don't. Sometimes, guys, literally the wrong people can know the depths of your heart. There are people that aren't helpful. There are people that don't speak truth to you, right? And so we need to make sure that we have the right people that knows the depths of my heart. the people that will speak into my life, the people that will say, Kat, that's wrong, that's not right, that's not going to bear a good fruit in your life. So I think that can be, we can be resistant to people knowing us at this level. We can be resistant to tackling this level because we can feel like it's so personal. So I'm going to give you a warning and then an encouragement. A woman who does not engage with allowing God to change her thought life will hinder her own growth. Mm-hmm. Okay? So a woman that doesn't engage this area, you will experience just shallowness in your own growth until this area is somewhat addressed. It doesn't mean conquered. Okay? It just means that you're stepping into that, that you're understanding that, that you're understanding that influence. And now I'm going to give you an encouragement. And Stephen said this yesterday. God is at work in you. He is sanctifying you. I think you talked about that. God is helping us in our thoughts. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you. I put that on Discord this morning. It is God who is at work in you. He is doing that sanctifying work. Mm-hmm. We are becoming more like Christ. And part of that is we're changing in the way we think. I can think about how I used to think about things, even 10 years ago. Steve's like, you should get out your notes from 10 years ago. I'm like, nah. Number one is I don't got time. But number two, I'm sure I feel very, exactly. I feel probably very differently about certain things, right? And we all are like that. We feel there, you can think about even 3 years ago. You can think about before, what was it, COVID? Is that what we called it? COVID, how things changed, right? Yeah, right. I mean, things change and they change your perspective and they change the way you think about things. But may we be women that embrace change. God stays the same. God never changes. But his sanctifying of us, we are changing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe we be women that want change. I think it's easy for women to say, I don't like change. It's like, if you don't like change, that's your only hope, is that God's changing. God is bringing something new, and just to embrace that and love that. Okay, this last step, we're going to get into small groups, and we're going to talk about practical steps, the how of all this. And I wanted to get really practical on this because I think there's one thing to understand the battle, but it would be a shame for you guys to leave and not have any tips or steps to take. And I want to talk about that in small groups. And I want us to help one another with that and process together what we need to do to change and take those steps. But first of all, I want to call all of us into something, and I think it's fair to say that you cannot do this on your own. Okay, that is why you are a part of a church body. Or at least it'll be very, very slow progress if you try to do this on your own. So I would say, I think Misty talked about this, surround yourself with truth voices. Well, you said this, that impacts you, Jade, that people around you and what they're talking about, right? Surround yourself with truth voices. Be in consistent relationship with other believing sisters who will speak truth into your life. Not a sister that'll just listen. They need to be able to speak truth into your life. And just last week, I had something came into my world, and I was very discouraged. But I was in relationship, in communication with two women in this room. And it would have been very hard if I had not been in relationship with them, because then I would have had to pick up the phone and say, I'm having a hard time and I need perspective. That would have been a lot harder to have done. But because I was in communication, because I was talking, it was easy to say to them, hey, do you have any thoughts on this? This is what happened, and I need perspective. And both of them were very compassionate and came along and prayed for me and had good thoughts for me. And it really, I mean, I can say it's Monday night. It's like, well, that's past. I forgave Steve for the mean words that he said to me. Although he said they weren't mean, they were loving. So it depends on how you look at it. But anyway. But I had two sisters that kind of came along next to me and walked me through that. Point is, if I would not have been in communication with them, it would have been very hard to have picked up the phone and made that call and say, I need help. So my point is, surround yourself, be in local relationship with local people, talking through what is going on in your life, and make sure those are the good, right people, okay? And these experiences are not going to go away. These struggles are not going to go away. Our part is to position ourselves before the Lord. Okay, we have to slow down and consider our ways. And I love this. I read this in an article recently. It says, as long as you are moving in the right direction, things will go well for you. As long as you're positioned. Even if you're at a standstill, if you're facing the right direction. Okay, That's good. That's what you can do. You're facing the right direction. If you're at a snail's pace, as long as you're facing the right direction, things will go well for you. So it's all about facing the right direction. And that is a question that I would leave with you tonight is, are you facing the right direction to get help and input and encouragement in your thought life? Are you in relationship with women in that? And before we get into small groups, I'm just going to share two more verses. The fruit of taking on this battle, and these two verses I want to share with you. This is what the Bible says, Isaiah 26:3. Many of you know this. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Right? So there's perfect peace that he's offering us there. And a lot of us know Romans 8:6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. So God lays out and offers life and peace when our minds are controlled by the Spirit. So those are just two verses of the fruit of tackling this. So hopefully you guys are encouraged to understand this is worth tackling. This is worth positioning myself in relationship. There is good that God has in store for this. So those are my thoughts. Any thoughts before we break up into small groups? We're going to talk about the practicals kind of in a small group, but any thoughts about something that was encouraging or something that's challenging from this?
And I feel like it's kind of like, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Our identity, our sense of who we are and our worldview, or those good thoughts, because I think they create a circle. You know, you have good thoughts, it leads to a good worldview and a good identity. And then when you have a good worldview and identity, that leads to good thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, cycles around.
Yep.
In a really healthy way.
Yep. That's really true. It's a good way to explain that, even just that effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very circular. So we could just do, let's see, if we do in groups of five each, and we could do a group of five in here, mm-hmm. and if a group of five in the piano room, and a group of five in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Is that good?